and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls argue about everything with one grumpy pants. Is that fair?
Just waiting for me to respond to your provocations.
The pregnant pause.
So I am Alona. We have Hashtag and Hunter as well doing this podcast. I realized in the previous episodes we never really introduced each other. We just started talking. Like, everyone knows who we are. decided.
I'm Hashtag and you're Hunter. Okay. Never mind. That one fell a little flat.
It fell something, for sure. Well, we're going to jump right in because there was a patch today with some balance updates. A fair number of them. We're going to not necessarily read verbatim because that would be insanity and we'd be doing it until 5 in the morning. So to get things started, we're going to do Chivos, which is what we've been up to in-game, and I'm going to throw that to you, Hashtag.
All right. So I have been very busy these past 2 weeks, really. So one of the first things that I want to talk about is the Magic Warped. Is it Magic Warped? Is that right?
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay. Magic Warped bundles. So I think it was probably, 2 months ago or so that Hunter pointed out, hey, you guys should be farming Winterberries and buying these bundles and great things will happen. Yeah. So just these past couple weeks, let's see. I bought 4 one day. I got Alonian Leather. And then I bought 3 the next day. I got nothing. 4 the next day. I got nothing. I bought 7 the next day because Hunter made this big stink about how you had to have a large enough sample size to really see a profit.
20 is the sample size I was talking about, not 7. You didn't even double your sample size.
Yeah, but she should be able to lump those into one big group and still see some sort of return.
Right? I don't count getting gold, legitimate gold would be good, but I'm getting gold ore. What?
I got the most worthless worthless things ever. I did get 1 Alonian leather when I was doing it. But I've given up a lot sooner than you on these.
I want to keep trying because I feel like at some point it's going to work. I still have faith.
Honey. Oh. You don't have Hunter's horseshoe. Apparently.
Some people just do not know how to make money, and that's you.
So. RNG has nothing to do with that.
So all I had to say about this is I'm blaming Hunter because it's your fault.
in the game.
I'm used to getting blamed for your inability to do things, so.
It seems right.
It's fair.
All right, so I went on a bit of an achievement overload.
You went crazy.
I did, and so did you. I don't know. I feel like we got a lot done. Mm-hmm. I finished all 41 story achievements for Head of the Snake. So that's all the meta achievements, all the hidden achievements. And this is really the first episode that I've been able to do all of them easily without having one or two really expensive ones that I had to put off. So this one is done in the books. Done.
I still have quite a few I need to do for those. You guys helped me one night, but didn't get them all.
Well, we'll help you again.
Yay!
I really enjoyed them. I found these story achievements just fun to complete, fun to find, fun to do. Now, I got lucky on a couple of them that I know frustrated people, particularly before some of the fixes. The moonlighting one with the bandits at the lumberyard. Mm-hmm. I got that one on my first try when it was still bugged. So I'm sorry. So that went easily for me. And then the other one that people still seem to be having trouble with is the ship. And I got that one right after the fix. There was a small group of people doing it. I think I had about 4, maybe 5 people with me, and we managed to do it no problem. There wasn't any unusual scaling, so got it done. So I really, overall, the achievements went well. They were fun. No complaints.
Yes. We never talked about the jellyfish.
The jellyfish.
Did we do that before or after last show?
I was after. Definitely after.
Okay, well, we forgot to put that in our thing, so thank you, Em, for letting us know.
Oh, that was fantastic. And my favorite part about the jellyfish tonic is it's not a one and done. I was afraid that, you know, you got the achievement, you got mm-hmm. the tonic, and I thought, well, that's it. I'm done. But you can do it again. It's repeatable.
Yes. So for people who don't know, there is an achievement where you feed a jellyfish and you get, or no, a quaggan.
And you get right, a quaggan.
A jellyfish tonic, and it turns you into a jellyfish. However, we discovered at the time, more people may have discovered this, that you can go on land with it.
And you can glide.
And you can glide, and you can use ley lines. And there's a dance emote. Which is mostly just,
one of the things I think people are overlooking in Lake Doric is that you can actually get the ley line aerial skills from Bloodstone Fen in Lake Doric if you hit the ley lines.
Right, which is perfect for taking out the jade cannons. After Hunter told me that, I realized I could just kind of hang out in the ley line and take down the cannons very easily. So, good tip.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me.
Let's see. So I also finished the meta achievements for A Crack in the Ice, which I'd put off for a long time because I hadn't finished some of the ones that required you to go into the bitter cold. The diving achievement, I hadn't gotten that yet. Some of that was due to computer issues and FPS. And now that I have a new computer, it's so much easier. Imagine that.
Yeah, Spirit had the same problem because she's in New Zealand and her lag would not allow her to just do that on her own. So she had to grab someone, have them jump first, mm-hmm. break the ice at the bottom of those diving goggles, and then jump in.
Right.
So the same problem as you, I think.
Yep, exactly. So got that done, which is very satisfying. I think I have A Crack in the Ice. The only ones I don't have done are the Coden's Blessing and the, is it Gifts for Aurene? Or the one that awards the mini. I don't remember what the achievement is.
Yeah, and that one is, was that the one you guys were saying was like super duper expensive? Yeah.
I mean, it's not super duper expensive. It's just expensive enough that I have to think about it before doing it and see if I really want to do it right now.
Was that the cultural attaché achievement?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes.
That's not that expensive. It's like 6 gold or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 6 gold per item though, right?
No, 1 gold per item, I thought. Maybe I'm
wrong. No, you're thinking of the other one. There's two, because there's the one where you bring her, maybe that's the cultural attaché. There's one where you bring her items from all around Tyria.
Right.
And that one is about 1 gold or, you know, a couple thousand karma for mm-hmm. each item. That one I did do, but there's another one where you have to craft. Oh, you have to craft, right? Don't you have to have your crafting levels up? And I don't remember everything, but it's a great achievement, a great award. Be wonderful to have the mini. It's just mm-hmm. that I need more time and, you know, a slow week, something to do, that would be a good time to do that. Not a week that we get a really exciting content update.
So to the Aurene mini, sort of. So over Winter's Day, there was the Winter's Day Aurene. And I'd never actually seen it in game. And I think one of the things I was at, there someone had it there. And I kind of wish I'd got it. It's pretty awesome. It has multicolored lights all over its scales on the back that blink.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So, it's not helpful to anyone now because it's over, but.
But it's good to actually like when there are achievements that you don't get done that you can be excited about finishing the next time. You know, like Winter's Presence, things like that, where I know it's a little frustrating that you don't finish the first time, but then you really look forward to it coming back around again, particularly if they don't add that much in the way of new content.
I think that one was just a gem store thing, though.
Ah, well then.
Festive Aurene or something like that.
All right. I also finished the Mersat tokens in Ember Bay. So Hunter took Alona and I and
Zero,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. through the jumping puzzle, and I'll let you talk about that more later. We got most of the tokens in that area. Very helpful. And then the next day I went back and got, I think I had about 27 more tokens to get because I was really behind on it. Mm-hmm. And I got all of them the next day with a little help from Hunter as well, because I got stuck.
Was that on one part. Monday or the Sunday?
Sunday.
That was Sunday.
Yeah. And and I'm done with Ember Bay, I believe, because we also finished, or Alona and I finished Hungry Hal.
We did. That. So he has had so much vitamin C and or no rickets or what have you that someone would get from not eating properly.
Death by apples.
Yes. And also for someone who is a hermit, he has quite the scheme for having constant friends who feed him.
Right. There's always a group up there with him.
Yes.
So the reason I put off this achievement was I thought, you know, well, it's going to take a long time. I'll have to do one apple or so a day. I had misread it, or I didn't really understand it. And, you know, if it's a one a day kind of thing in 50 days, I just forgot about it many of those days. So yep. When we checked in last weekend and we were talking about these different achievements, I had 6 apples mm-hmm. done. And
Hunter did not make fun of you or comment at all. No.
Not at all.
I had advised you from day one, one a day. And you had 6 done last week.
But then I got, you know, 12, 13 done the next day. And then, what day was that, Lona? Monday, family day. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of tooling around, doing various quieter things, interior. And
you started doing the Hungry Hal.
Yeah, I started doing it and you kind of joined me. And it was fun because we were in Discord. We were talking. It was really low key. And we're just kind of going back and forth and back and forth.
Then switching characters back and forth. And you used a teleport to friend to get a character. Because you only, did you have 2?
I had 2.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So it took 3 mm-hmm. For me to finish up. And then I was done. Got the title. Everything is good. Oh, that's the last mastery point. So now I have all of the mastery points from the Living Seasons.
I think.
For Living Season 3.
And I think, but when we started, I think I had 19. So I had more than you, but I finished a little bit after you in the end.
You got a little distracted by the seaweed.
Yeah, I kept getting that too.
Last weekend I did tier 4 fractals with Alona, Hunter, Spirit, and I think it was Keeper, right?
I think so.
And that was really great. I haven't done tier 4 in quite a while. I really enjoyed it. It's rewarding. It's so great. You know, you do one fractal and then you get 4 chests for it. It's a great feeling.
Yes. I love that.
Yes. You know, we owe a lot of that to Spirit. Thank you, Spirit.
Yes. She brought.
We did things that we had never done before. Like we, you know, here's a tier 4.
The Chaos.
Uncategorized, where we took down Old Tom without using the fan.
Yeah. It was just like all the poison was there. But this is the case where Spirit brought her healer that she has kitted out for raids. And she was like, just stay behind the bear. So we were just like, all right, stand behind a bear and hit. There and should be a Sherpa title, Jawa. There should be.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Spirit Sherpa. Or Sherpa Spirit. That should be the title.
Spirit of the Sherpa.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you, Spirit. That was a lot of fun. And I really want to do more tier 4 fractals. It takes a good group and it takes, you know, time to do it. But I'm currently at level 91 for my personal fractal level. But I've been there for, I want to say, 6 months. And I haven't moved up at all. So I want to do it. I want to do, and I was talking to Hunter earlier, I really want to do the level 100 Nightmare Fractal because that's my favorite fractal. I think that would be a lot of fun, challenging, but good. Mm-hmm. So let's do it.
Let's do it. I am nowhere near ready, but
we'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then the next day I completed the page dailies and I got the Aetherblade pistol skin. Woohoo! Which is
you worth... did not stop talking about.
Okay, no.
It's funny because most of the Aetherblade skins aren't worth that much. There's only 3 or 4 Aetherblade skins that are worth anything, and Aetherblade pistol is like worth 180 gold or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite unexpected. As in, like I got it in my bag and I thought, oh, this is interesting. And then I previewed it and I thought, oh, I kind of like the way this looks. It's kind of cool. It's okay. And then I checked out how much it was worth. I said, oh, this is really good.
And then she complained about the listing fee cost.
Okay, to be fair, you two were in Discord. Not.
That's true.
Chat. And so, of course, it makes it seem so much more dramatic when you type something out.
Then she jumped into Discord. Yeah, Hunter out of me. Alona's making fun of you in Discord. It's like, thanks, Hunter.
Yeah. Awesome.
But it's true. I was. Oh, gotta spend money for this.
Yeah. Zero, it is a really pretty skin, and I wish I could keep it and sell it, but I guess that's kind of the whole point there.
Yeah, it's one of the few pistol skins that actually kind of looks like a pistol instead of some fantasy weapon.
Yeah.
So let's see what else they did. Oh, okay. In Lake Dork, we were kind of tooling around. This is when I was helping Alona with some of the achievements. Okay, so we go to Lakeside Bazaar, and I'm waiting for her to finish something. And I go up to the top of the roof of one of the buildings where there's a balcony kind of area. And there's a child up there, a boy, and he's just walking back and forth. But he walks back and forth with this, like, old timey old man walk. His gait is really wide. It's these long steps and he dips really low in between each step.
And his torso doesn't move. It just goes up and down.
Right.
It is pretty hilarious. He's like,
so we stood and watched this for a little bit, like you do.
It was kind of funny.
I'm gonna have to make a gif of it.
We should.
Yeah, I should. I should. Ooh, challenge. All right.
With which music should it have? The Benny Hill music? Or circus music?
No, not circus music.
Something old-timey.
Ooh.
It needs something like dee-dum-dee-doo, dee-dum-dee-doo.
Charlie Chaplin type music.
Yes.
Something.
Yes, that's it. And finally, I updated Hash's look. So I know, I think last episode,
it threw me off.
I mentioned that I was going to wait until new hairstyles. However, in the midst of all these achievements that one of the achievements that I finished awarded a self-style hair kit. So I used that one and I went for the braids that I have wanted for a long time. And I went with the hazel dye.
Which I thought for sure that was like, it looks green though.
But it's hazel. I mean, that's green.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Greenish.
I thought it was brown.
Well, it's a
greenish
mix.
Brown.
Greenish brownish okay. Gray.
Hazel is close to olive, I would say.
A little mossy. So I also dyed the accessory, the same color, hazel. And that's the first time that we've been able to do that. Hazel was not available before. So it's nice because it blends in better. And I like it, at least for now, until we get new hairstyles. And I also, in my notes, and it disappeared, Hunter.
Well, yeah. What? Let's just blame every random thing on Hunter now.
Yes.
Yes.
So I got my 4th birthday present.
Yay!
Ooh, yeah. And I bought the, is it glistening gold? I can't remember, not bought, but I chose the gold dye.
Gold sheen.
Gold sheen. Is that it? That might be it. First off, I chose it because I wanted it. And second off, I chose it because it's worth the most out of that pack. So it's
gold
worth
sheen,
like,
is one of the more valuable golds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Golden sheen, maybe?
290 gold-ish. But then I realized after I made that choice, could I have chosen Shadow Abyss?
You don't have Shadow Abyss?
Don't have Shadow Abyss.
You probably could have gotten Shadow Abyss.
Well, I'll have to wait for my next character to birthday.
Yeah, that's how I got Shadow Abyss.
It's going to be a while because I deleted characters.
I think I got Shadow Abyss from one of the things that I...
Blacklight.
No, actually the... When the kits...
Oh, you bought die kits?
I bought
die Alona.
Kits. Yes.
Alona.
Alona.
That's what I do. I throw money at my computer and it makes me happy.
So I also chose the Asura backpack.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's my favorite of the five.
Yeah, I like the other ones. They just didn't quite work for me and the look. But I do like the Asura one, so...
I'm wearing it on my Asura, which I play a lot, so.
Yeah. So, Alona, what have you been up to this week?
And last week. Or week previous. Two weeks. Like you were saying, I finished the token collector with... Hunter was our guide. He was our Sherpa that day. And...
You make it sound so conditional. He was our guide that day.
Well, as opposed to when Spirit was being like the really super helper for fractals, but this was, and it was, so that we did that Saturday night. Normally that is like guild stuff night, but we were doing this instead. And one of the newer members of the guild, Pebbles, whispered me and asked if we were doing guild stuff. And I said, no, we're doing this. And I think I asked if they wanted to join and they weren't able to. And I said, well, if you hop into Discord, you can hear Hunter yell at us. And then Hunter got mad that I said that.
And it was true.
Actually, he started good. He tried to be on his best behavior for first little bit, I think. But then we were just too much for him.
Well, the problem is sometimes I don't know when we're supposed to follow and when we're not, and we're just exploring. So I feel like I always make the wrong choice. Like, oh, you're just running ahead to see if that's the right path. But hashtag, what are you doing here? I told you. I didn't know.
I love
and the next time, you're like, why did you take my portal?
Don't know. I specifically tell you, hey, stay here. I'm going over here. And then I find you right next to me 2 seconds later.
This moment, I made this. Huzzah! Yes. And yes, we had three mesmers. So yes, we had
Zero,
me.
Reporting, and you report. Yeah.
And
I
Hunter.
I was the not helpful.
So I had a really good time, and not least of which because I was able to finish Token Collector.
Yeah.
I worked on getting the meta done for A Crack in the Ice, so I don't have all of the achievements from that, but like you were saying, hashtag, we got the stuff enough to get the Glacial Gauntlets, which
Koda's Blessing is like 950 ectos and other cash-related stuff, so I'm not ever going to have all of the achievements from A Crack in the Ice because I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous.
But you could because you're rich, you know.
Yeah, well, I have 1,000 ectos in my storage, but I'm not gonna. I didn't get rich by just throwing ectos away on whatever.
Whatever. Anyway, I saw someone with Coda's Blessing, and I quite liked it though. It was like, oh. But now that you say what it takes, maybe not. So not this Saturday, but the previous one, I ran through the Leather Farm with Relics of War. So they had their guild night, and that's what they decided they were going to do that evening. And it was, so the Leather Farm in Lake Doric, and it was fun. We had a big group, and there was a lot, you know, it's probably monotonous, but I've only done it the one time with a group of people who were also in Discord. So it was a lot of fun and a lot of laughter. Did more fractals than I have done recently, and I even pugged once, I think.
Oh, yes.
For me, that's a huge deal. I've never done it.
Okay, so I just have to say, I logged in and I pugged for those page dailies, and who gave me grief about that? You're not going to admit it. Hunter, hello.
Well, because we were like, we should do this, and I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And then next night we log on, and she's like, well, whatever, I guess we're not doing fractals with hashtags. She's already
with others. That's not how it went. Okay, so here's how it went. We did the tier 4 fractals, and then you were rather groggy that night, Alona, and you said, I don't think, no, it was Hunter. Because Alona, you said you wanted to go to bed, and Hunter said, I don't want to do these daily. And so,
whoa, that is not your impression of me.
It is now.
The next day I logged on and I thought, oh, well, you know, I just logged on. I don't want to bother people. Sometimes you log in and you don't really want to you know, just jump into something with a group of people. You want to just kind of do some quiet things. So I thought, well, I'll just get those done. And I thought, actually, Alona, weren't you, you may have been hidden. Because you've been hidden a lot recently.
So sometimes I am ready to log out, but I have a couple things I want to get done, just like banking stuff. But I don't want someone to hop in and start, like, and me go, actually, I'm just leaving, sorry, click, boo. So I just set myself to invisible, but then I'll forget I've done that the next time I log in.
Right. So I didn't even realize you were on. And Hunter, you were in dub-dub, so I thought, well, Hunter's busy, so I will just do this. And I thought I was being considerate until the passive-aggressive messages start appearing in the guild chat.
Well, purposely.
I would have done it with you, but I honestly thought you guys were busy. So there you go.
So back to me.
Sorry.
I did the things you mentioned we already talked about with a lot of the fractals, so I won't go into that any further. My dog is barking. Hopefully that's not getting picked up.
Can definitely hear it, but go ahead.
Fantastic. I chanced into a great Silver Wace. Panther and I were in Silver Wace for the Vista daily achievement. And I don't know why, but we just started wandering around and ended up doing the entire meta. And so that was great. Got all of that done. It was a really good map. Super smooth. No issues. It was like, it was crazy awesome. So, oh God. I think someone's torturing, not literally, but like playing with the dog and teasing her.
Ah, is that a good time to be doing that, considering what you're doing?
That is a fine question, Hunter. I may have to text him right now and let him know this. I'll continue while I do this. I did, on Monday, guild missions with Maven, and there were 3 races. Again, took the afternoon to finish Hungry Hal, the poor overfed guy. And I finally crafted the last piece of ascended armor for Alona for quite a while now. Like, I've been, for all intents and purposes, minus one piece, fully ascended for Alona. And I didn't have the ascended leggings, and I was kind of holding off. How long has it been, Hunter? Like, almost a year?
Yeah.
Almost a year. Waiting, hoping I would get a drop for leggings.
My eyes are rolling into the back of my head. A year.
So with the upcoming changes, which we're not really going to talk about here, but they've talked about on the forums changes coming to Ascended Crafting. I thought, well, maybe I should just get the leggings done now. So I did that one day and got them done, and it's all good. And
so how much agony does that mean you have now?
I think I'm up to 140. So I have I have quite a few pieces that only have plus sevens, so I could up those to plus nines. And there's other things I'm sure I could look into to increase the AR in them. Because I think they're like, some of the trinkets are using things from like fairly early on.
Right. Well, you know, with 140, now that there's the plus 10 potion,
that's true.
You can pretty much do anything.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Sold a lot of mats for decent returns. Every once in a while, I try not to do it too often because you really need to do it in fairly significant numbers. I'll go through my material storage and take half of some things just across the board, half of them, and then I'll sell them. I'm like, yay, I think I've made like 100 gold so far doing that. Yeah.
Nice.
I hadn't done it in a while. I've been hitting the New Living story zones to get the collectibles, like the Unbound Magic and the Winterberries, which I know you do a lot, Hunter, but I don't necessarily have, I have to pick and choose what I'm going to do, and that one kind of usually falls by the wayside, but I've been going in a little bit more and doing those, and I actually really enjoy getting the Unbound Magic, especially in Bloodstone Fen when you go to the Diving Goggles. Whee! Yum, 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 yum. All done. I love that one.
And now that they've nerfed some of those, like the, not storms, what are they called? Those thingies that pop up.
Yes, they did.
Easier to glide through there. Yeah.
I didn't. You know what? I didn't almost die. So yes, I must have noticed this. I showed hashtag the bounty of gathering in Bloodtide Coast the other night.
So good.
It's so good. So good. She was going, I'm trying to get iron. And I can't remember what zone you were just finishing.
In Brisbane.
Yep. Yes, that's right. And I said, well, you need to go to Bloodtide because between the woods that they have there, the so hard and seasoned woods, and then between, there is some gold ore, but it also has like a lot of iron and platinum. And a lot of mature herbs. So I love Bloodstone Fen for that. And it's almost all in the water. Not the wood, obviously, but, you know, the ore.
Right.
It's all in the water. And
I never thought to look in the water, really. I mean, I kind of stayed on land. So.
And it's a nice little circle to go through and get that done. And I discovered, this is not necessarily game related, but kind of, I discovered that when you, I said text, but I should say tweet. When you tweet a warning out for people to not convert their hours of playtime into days, most people promptly convert their playtime from hours into days. There are so many people, I just did that. Oh my God. I'm like, I warned you not to. Why are you doing that?
So how would you even go about that without a calculator, I suppose?
You have to have a calculator. Yeah, you just get your hours and then divide it by 24.
Well, I'm not good at math. Mean bullies over here.
I'm terrible at math. That's why I used a calculator. I have played a very long time, and it was a long time, and I wish I hadn't done it. So don't do it, even though probably people are now going to do it. And finally, just before, so I did start some of the stuff that came out today as far as content. There was some light content stuff put in, if people are unaware. I started it. I didn't have time to complete it before having to get ready for the show, so I didn't get too far on that, just at the very beginning. And the three of us also compared our accounts in GW2 efficiency because I needed to check something with my account and I had to set it up.
Yeah, you had to create.
Okay, but I had the APIs made. I've done it before. The only thing I can think is there did not used to be a login for GW2 efficiency. And I just been so long since I'd done it.
Well, I was talking to Spirit anyway, and like she mentioned that her account value changed by 10,000 gold overnight. So it doesn't seem like it's incredibly accurate, but it's interesting.
You were surprised that my account value wasn't too much lower than yours, but then we discovered why. <That's>, it rhymes with Clack Tyan Rest. So
what? You're gonna have to spell that one out.
And when poor, black line chests and gem store.
So. That is the worst rhymed thing I've ever heard.
It was supposed to be obscure, buddy. That was the point.
But again, I would say it's probably more that just Guild Wars 2 efficiency isn't accurate.
No, but
Spirit's count didn't gain 10,000 worth of gold overnight.
Well, it does. It does could fluctuate a little bit as far
with
as
the market.
Valuing things because of the market, right? So if you have a lot of things that are changing,
not by
the market,
10,000 gold.
No? But how, I imagine certain skins can shoot up in value.
No, this isn't the first time I've heard that, you know, the things fluctuate with Guild Wars 2 efficiency.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Yeah, I mean, it does. Was that actually between API updates, though, that happened for Spirit?
No, this is last night and the night before.
Okay. Zero saying the login was added a couple months ago. Ha ha. Ha ha. So that's it for me. Hunter, it's finally your turn. 40 minutes in, it's finally your turn. Make it fast.
Be a little long-winded. Okay, so I groaned in despair as I grudgingly slogged through the Chalice of Tears herding cats. You guys are the worst.
It's true.
Can't take direction.
It was super fun.
It really was.
I'm just showing them how to do specific jumps and specific glides, and they were like, "Oh, just leave your portal." Okay, fine.
Yeah. That's
like... Well, I feel like it was about 50-50. I mean, I did some jumps that I typically would not have done and would not have made, and then I would fall on stupid scramble parts. You know the parts where you're going up a rock and you can't tell exactly where you need to jump, and then you end up falling down too far. Mm-hmm. Those were the worst parts, I think.
Oh,
not
you
the
had
long
that
jumps.
You
the
also
long,
had that.
I mean, the long
sorry.
Dives. It dives. Wow, the long glides. There we go. Words.
Word things. Hunter, you had that thing where the checkpoint didn't work for you.
Yeah, my checkpoint stopped working after I died the second time for some reason. So if I was doing the puzzle, I would have to start from the beginning. But thankfully, I was just getting you guys to the Rasat tokens. Anyway, also, I have had superb luck with the magic board packet gamble. It made quite a profit, or at least broken even on my unluckiest days. And someone has typed in quotes, jerk. Not cool.
It wasn't me. I may be feeling it.
I was speaking for two. I typed for two.
Fair enough.
You should stay out of it, Alona. This is between me and hashtag. I also did various fractals, dungeons. I tried to do a simple COF path, path one, when it was the daily and got killed trying to resurrect Keeper, but I blamed him thoroughly, of course, only to find out he had never actually done COF Path 1 before. And that's why he had died. He ended up asking me if I wanted to like take him through story mode on some of the dungeons, to which I responded with a laugh, because
that's kind.
That. I'm not doing that. I've been in World versus World quite a bit. I finished all skins from Citadel of Flames, Twilight Arbor. I'm two skins away from finishing Crucible of Eternity. Unfortunately, that still leaves around 40 skins from five other dungeons.
I kept getting updates on this progress every, 20 minutes or so.
Yes.
I mentioned it like 2 or 3 times. What are you talking about?
An hour.
It was fine. It didn't bother me, obviously. Other than I'm teasing you about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just jealous.
Sure. Yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
I completed the Royal Guard title, which is to defend Stonemist Castle 500 times. I'm so glad you guys are happy for me on my progress on the dungeon skins.
I'm actually honestly impressed.
That is.
Because that's a lot of time in WDub. So, kudos to you because that's really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was not expecting anything genuine from you two tonight. I completed Lake Doric Story on 2 characters, and I have 1 character ready to do the final instance. Mm-hmm. I obtained the shield, staff, and backpack skins from Lake Doric, and I completed all the achievements, and I farmed about a stack of jade shards. I'm probably going to get about 3 stacks total and put them in storage just in case I need them in the future. Mm-hmm.
Is that the scroll backpack?
Yes.
Are you currently using that on any of your characters? Do you like it?
No, I just wanted to unlock the skin in case I decided to. Mm-hmm.
I'm
gonna replace my engineer's backpack, so I might. I don't know.
Do you like the skin hashtag?
I like the idea of the skin. I feel like it's a bit oversized. And the scale just doesn't feel quite right. And particularly for me on my Asura, it's quite something. And add to that, I'm carrying around Nevermore. So it looks, Eclipse funny. And it looks like a bottle rocket.
Richie calls it a lipstick.
Yeah.
So. Really?
Yeah. It's like a tube of lipstick.
I completed the Vigilant achievement, which was the final Bitterfrost one I hadn't done, and obtained the Glacial Gauntlets.
That was prior to helping us with ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't get that one first couple times I tried it on my own, so I got these two idiots to come in with me.
and it was awesome.
We did it the first time.
Yeah.
Did you guys have that achievement, or did you get it with me?
Got it with you.
I think we all got it at the same time, yeah.
Okay. I crafted heavy ornate guild boots just for the skin, basically. But those skins are pretty expensive. Any, 10 cured hardened leather for the patches, which is, 30 scraps of hardened leather.
I want to see what these look like.
I put them on my warriors, so you'll see them at some point. I gave them all new armor. And, there's 40 crystalline ore just to get the recipe, and so expensive. But, yeah, that's what I've done over the past couple weeks. And moving on to Votes of Ascalon. Does anybody want to take this?
I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. This week on Votes of Ascalon, we asked, what would you like to see for a new back piece item? And with 76 people responding, it appears that 49% of them are wrong, according to Hunter.
Hey, who wrote this?
Hunter. 21% are right. 5% voted for our second joke option, and 25% wanted marionette strings. But at least we know that around half of our audience doesn't want capes, so 49% said capes, 21% was the no capes, fanny pack, or bum bag is 5%.
That's the British way. That's the British name for fanny pack.
Okay. And the much contested among your hosts was the marionette strings at 25%.
Because our Twitter conversation while debating
the DMs. It got to the point where Hunter was like, it would be difficult to make, and so it would never go into... I'm like, listen, it's for funsies. Just put it in there. 25%.
Well, you would have to have strings going to the arms and a backpack.
It wouldn't be that big a deal.
Frame.
It would be legit. I think it would be cool.
To your arms.
in the animation.
I would like the marionette strings. Although, honestly, though, I could see it being more of a neck or shoulder replacement, kind of like the scarf.
Right, or even...
helmet?
Well, I guess I'm thinking more like glider. You know, the Gollum one, where there's strings going...
Like a marionette strings glider.
Whatever. You know, the strings going up.
Or the rooster one. The celestial rooster.
Right.
Yep. I was thinking that could look really cool with, like, the crosses. And they have the marionettes because of the watchwork stuff. So.
I voted for it because...
It would be fun.
I think it would be cool. Although, my second choice is capes. Sorry, Hunter. I love capes.
My second choice is no capes.
Yeah, I'm surprised no capes didn't do that well.
Because marionette strings is awesome.
I'm surprised that capes did so well. 49%. That's a huge margin of victory.
I love them.
I understand your hatred of capes.
I did love them in Guild Wars 1.
They're foppish, and
foppish. That's just the whole point.
But the thing is, you don't have to have foppish. Them. Lots of people.
Nobody wears any foppish stuff. Guild Wars 2. It's completely outdated and unfashionable.
Have you seen the thing? Did you see that people are wearing lipstick on their back?
That is a pink scroll, and that is discriminatory on Bogart's part.
I disagree. So that was this week's Votes of Ascalon. Stay tuned to @hostsofascalon on Twitter for more very important Votes of Ascalon polls. Very important. Very.
All right. Okay. Recording break.
Yes.
Or are you just going to sit there?
I keep saying very. I might.
So today we had a balance patch, bunch of updates to different professions, and overall, amongst us hosts, we feel like it was a good thing.
Yeah.
We didn't feel like there was anything that we disagreed with too much. We were pretty happy. And that was pretty much what I saw on Twitter. There were, of course, public people who were unhappy about various changes or more things that didn't change. The things that were changed. Would you agree with that?
I actually didn't see a lot on Twitter at all. I avoided it today, so.
I did see numerous people complaining about elementalists getting nerfed, but yeah.
A lot of people were expecting that too. So I think a lot of it was pre-salted.
Right. So let's see. I will take on the general, and then if we talk about some of the specific professions, I guess we're going to kind of divide that up by what we're more comfortable talking about, as in I'm not going to talk about anything except necros.
You know that there's you got to take at least one other one, lady.
Okay. All right, so in general, a note on target cap increases. In this balance update, we're increasing the target cap for a select number of skills and traits. When doing this, we must consider a variety of aspects, from game health to server performance. These changes are intended for the specific purpose of improving large group compositions and to improve their general support capacity. Capability, sorry. We'll continue to monitor these changes as time goes on and we'll make changes as necessary. However, we will not be looking to increase our 5 target maximum standard for player skills and will seldom, if ever, increase existing skill trait caps.
Like the if ever. Like how you're just like, I mean this.
I think that totally makes sense, the 5 target maximum, particularly when you're considering, you know, party composition. And if 5 is a normal number for Guild Wars to deal with. So
there are a couple exceptions to that, but.
Yeah, that's what Guild Wars 2 is designed around, is these 5-person parties. It's possibly one of the reasons that raids kind of tick me off, but go ahead.
All right. And for the first time in a very long time, we're changing what a specific combo finisher does. In the past, we made sidesteps from retaliation to a light aura that gives retaliation. In this update, we'll be changing the blast finisher for light fields to directly remove conditions from nearby allies. The team will be analyzing the effects of this in each game type and will be following up with it if necessary.
Now, what did Lightfields do previous? What were they?
It gave retaliation.
That's it. So this is a nice change to make Lightfields. That's a nice change to Lightfields. I was thinking like, oh, I really like this, but I couldn't 100% remember what Lightfields did before.
And if you look at it's a radius of 360, which is pretty generous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's particularly good in large group situations, world versus world, for instance.
Yeah,
definitely. All right. So we're not going to cover absolutely everything. We're going to kind of pick and choose, like we said. So elementalist, do we have a taker for that?
Never mind. It says right there. Never mind the whole light field thing. I didn't realize we had it there twice. I can do Ellie, or did you want to, Hunter?
Doesn't matter.
Okay,
so in this update, we've reduced quite a few recharges for many weapon and utility skills that felt too high in light of previous reductions to cooldown traits. That said, we're also looking to reduce the elementalist damage in high-level content, as this profession's damage and utility mix currently crowds out the other potential high-damage dealers. So elementalists have basically been the top DPS for a while, and nothing really approaches them.
And there are situations where if you're... It can make it very difficult for other professions to tag things when there's an elementalist there. Right. So hopefully this helps.
Yeah, and you know, they've made various changes to various skills, but I think the two main things that they changed that we will talk about are Meteor Shower and Overload Air. So Meteor Shower has always been kind of an RNG aspect to it, because the meteors will fall in this large AoE, and if you're standing in the right spot, you might not get hit. But now there's that aspect, and they've added a 0.5 second cooldown when hitting non-player targets. So mobs will not only have an RNG aspect to getting hit, they will have this internal cooldown, so they only get hit a certain amount of times, which is a fair amount of reduction to the DPS of Meteor Shower. Mm-hmm. And Overload Air has been reduced by about 7%. So that's one of the big skills for Tempest, basically. So a 7% reduction in damage is major. Is there any other elementalist stuff that you guys wanted to talk about?
Not really, other than, you know, there were a lot of skills that had recharge reduced, and there were a few things that had been split previously for PvP, and they've been unsplit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that seemed to be a common theme throughout all of the profession updates. There was addressing the PvP splits versus unsplits as things went along.
Shall I do engineer as well, since I have some?
You do a lot of engineering.
All right, so the goal for engineers in this update is to improve trait synergy, weapon usefulness, and kit purity of purpose, which is a whole thing with elite types, who were using purity of purpose as a sort of insult to ANET devs because they had mentioned it once, so they said it sarcastically over and over again on Reddit. So they all got a big kick out of it when they mentioned it in the update notes. Both power and condition builds will be affected in this round of changes, with a focus on PvE group viability. Notable to this is the trait Pinpoint Distribution now grants a unique condition damage bonus to allies around the engineer. The flamethrower utility kit is now focused on burning and keeping that condition on your enemies.
So when they say focus on PvE group viability, are they specifically talking about raids? Like, do they consider raids PvE content or no?
Not necessarily, but okay. It will have an effect in raids. Because this trait is basically like Ranger's Spotter or Necromancer's, I'm forgetting what it's called, Vampiric something? Hashtag.
Vampiric Gaze?
No, it's like a trait. Anyway.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, I know, but that's what I...
Yeah.
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 Okay, well, yeah, it gives a buff to your teammates who are standing around you. So
right.
The only condition damage one available. So that should up its viability in various situations. I did try out the flamethrower kit earlier today. I don't have a lot of condition damage on my engineer, so it was really hard to tell if it made a big difference, but from what I was doing, it didn't seem like it was that big a deal of a change. I don't know. It didn't feel great to me, but I'll have to try it out more. But moving on to some other skills, there was Blunderbuss. The skill has been unsplit from PvP and now deals the higher 10% damage values in all areas of the game. Increased bleeding stacks from 1 to 4 to 2 to 5.
A lot.
Based on range, increased bleeding duration from 4 seconds to 5 seconds. Fragmentation shot, bleeding duration has been increased from 3 to 4 seconds. And blowtorch, the number of burning applications that the skill applies has increased from 1, 2, 3 to 2, 3, 4. Four. So that's a bunch of...
A lot of bleeding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bleeding and burning increases for the engineer. It's nothing but buffs there for engineer, basically. Mm-hmm. And finally, oh no, there's a bunch of stuff. But there's also static discharge, which hasn't really been a thing for a while, but it just got a damage increase of 20%.
That's a lot.
Static discharge used to be like the thing that people had, and people always used to have it. So this damage increase might bring it back in a little bit.
We don't really have it highlighted, but I thought the reduction for Elixir U and Toss Elixir U, they both got time reductions for the recharge, and I thought those... I like Elixir builds on NG, so I was like, ooh, on that.
I've always found Elixir U to be very situational. It's a nice buff. I don't know. I might try it out. What?
Jawa, sorry.
Okay. So there's a pinpoint distribution, which we discussed, and then there's a bunch of changes to the flamethrower kit. Increases to burning on the main skill, burning on the blast with reduction on damage, burning on the secondary part of the flame blast, but also a damage reduction. I wish they had kept the original damage because that would have made it pretty awesome, but maybe it would have been OP. I don't know. So yeah, that's all the engineer stuff. Who wants to take Guardian?
I'll take Guardian. Because even though it was other than Rev, the very last profession I made. Old note for Tengu. Improvements to underused base skills have been the general focus for the Guardian in this patch, but we're also giving the Dragon Hunter specialization a little bit more counterplay in PvP scenarios. We've unsplit a few of the changes introduced this winter, taking either the more powerful option or compensating to a more powerful level than is available in most game modes. So, yeah, it sounds pretty interesting. We called out specifically Whirling Wrath. They reduced the recharge from 10 seconds to 8 seconds and increased damage by 20%. 20%.
Yeah. Well, all of these skills here for Greatsword have been buffed.
Yeah, the projectile damage is now listed separately from melee damage, which do you guys use the combat lock? I don't. I mean, I love that it's there. I just never think to go in, but that's, if you are someone who uses the combat log, that'll be pretty big, I imagine.
Maybe.
Leap of Faith, they reduced recharge from 15 seconds to 12 seconds. Symbol of Wrath, increased damage by 22%. Binding Blade, reduced recharge from 30 seconds to 25 seconds. And Purification, the trap heal, I put this right here because I thought this was quite interesting. The trap heal on this skill has been reduced by approximately 16% in PvP only. And traps. PvP. Dragon. Guardians and Dragon Hunters and PvP are my bane.
Yeah.
And moving on to Mesmer. You guys don't mind if I take this one, do you? I like the dismissive, like, from Hunter on that one. The Mesmer is receiving a few different additions and reworks. Time Warp is one of the select skills and traits in this update, which is being changed to affect 10 targets. So previously we had talked about how things were only affecting 5. This one, Time Warp, will still affect 10. Also in this update, we are implementing initial attacks on several Phantasm skills, allowing the Mesmer to deliver a primary attack in addition to the summon in order to provide a bit more constant pressure on your targets. And I thought this was kind of interesting because the constant pressure, I never really noticed that to necessarily be lacking. However, that is, in PvP, I usually run an interrupt Mesmer, so I would interrupt first, then do things. So I'm wondering if this is to make it that you don't have to take interrupts and still be, you know, very pressure heavy. A lot of things had recharge reduced. I am excited about these things. Time Warp, the interval of quickness and slow that this skill applies, has been increased from every 1 second to every 2 seconds. Quickness and slow duration have been increased from 1 second to 2 seconds, and this skill now affects 10 targets, like we mentioned in the preamble. This skill will now apply slow through an unblockable attack rather than directly applying through all defense. So I'm not 100% sure how that all plays out, but
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Chaos Armor, which is Staff 4, or if you get Chaos Armor from Finishers, reduced recharge to 30 seconds, so this is specifically the skill. This skill now applies a random condition, confusion, cripple, or weakness to nearby foes when activated. I don't know what the radius on that is, but I thought that was, I really like that, to be honest, because I like condition. Phantasmal Duelist, so I mostly called out the Phantasm changes, so the Phantasm Duelist and Phantasmal Mage and Phantasmal Warlock. In all cases, they, in addition to their previous effects, they have additional ones. So for Duelist, it's fires a slow-moving homing bullet that cripples its target if it hits. Mage is it burns all foes, nearby foes when activated, and Warlock fires Winds of Chaos projectiles at up to 3 unique targets within a radius of 600 of the caster. That's awesome. Love that. So, and there were some changes to Wells and some other things as well in there. So all in all, reading through the Mesmer change, I'm like, I'm fine with all this. This is all good.
Yeah, and I pretty much felt the same way about Necromancer. So one of the major goals for the Necromancer during this update has been to improve the Reaper's Greatsword weapon in all game modes without blowing its power out in the ones where it was already good. In addition, we've also been looking to improve a few baseline utility abilities. And yeah, that's pretty much what we see in what they have done. So the Necro Greatsword, all of the skills for the Greatsword were improved. The Gravedigger aftercast of the skill has been reduced by 0.2 seconds. Death Spiral damage of this skill has been increased by 20%, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling Scythe, and that's, I think that's the third form of the number one skill. That increased life force gain from 3% to 5%. And Nightfall, this skill now converts boons into conditions from enemies it hits. And Grasping Darkness, the recharge of this skill has been reduced from 30 seconds to 25 seconds. Increased damage by 30%.
Gah.
Now, I don't run Greatsword typically.
Are you going to now?
I have a Greatsword that I carry with me everywhere in my very carefully curated inventory. and today I pulled it out and tried it out because previously Greatsword to me just felt really clunky. It didn't feel powerful. It felt slow. I run a dagger, warhorn, and a staff and or scepter, depending on what I'm doing. So I don't really normally work with the Greatsword. So today I pulled it out and tried it on for size, and I was kind of impressed. It's going to take some time for me to get used to it, because I'm also used to using Warhorn for swiftness and, you know, things like that. So losing some of those abilities will change things, but pretty good buff to the greatsword. So I'm gonna play with it some more and see what it does for me.
Gravedigger is like one of the most powerful skills in the game. So a little surprised you don't use greatsword a little more often. But
I was kind of surprised. I hadn't really tried Gravedigger before, and I was reading up on the skills this afternoon as I was trying them out, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty amazing. Yeah.
No, but the other skills, you know, definitely drag down the entire greatsword setup, so it's not that surprising.
And it had been buffed increasingly quite a bit from the betas as well. Because it was like much slower with less damage in the betas? And they went, okay, well, we'll speed it up. And, right. And now it's even more.
Right. And hopefully it's not overpowered. Hopefully it's just right. I think, you know, they it's a specialization. They want people to be playing this weapon. So you want to make it feel good to play it. So I'm excited to try it out more and see what comes from it. As far as traits, couple ones that I highlighted, Deathly Chill, increased bleed stacks to 3 for 5 seconds in PvE. That must be 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds in PvE only.
3, 4, 5.
7, 8, 9.
Bleed stacks to 3 for 5 seconds in PvE only.
There you go. Got it.
Now I get it. All right. And Reaper's Onslaught now grants up to 225 bonus ferocity while in a shroud based on effective level. Overall, the shroud, man, I was really excited to see these buffs, because I'm always afraid when we get these balance patches that the things that I really like are going to be nerfed. And that's what most people are concerned about. But I'm such a casual player that it really concerns me, because I don't have a lot of other options in play style. You know, I'd have to totally relearn, learn other characters and things like that, which I do like to do occasionally, but I also, you know, you want to have your comfortable main character. So I was really excited to see these shroud buffs, which on the whole, oh my gosh, Life Rend and Life Slash both increased by 17%. Life Reap was increased damage 12.5%, increased life force gain from 1.5% to 2%, and then Death Charge increased damage by 30%. Wow.
Yes.
Again. So, the great sword, that's something I'm going to have to be testing out, see how I feel about it, but I'm definitely going to be in Shroud a lot more often overall. So I'm really quite pleased about this. There's a couple other changes to Wells. Those were buffed. Spectral skills, wall, grass had reductions in time. And that was pretty much it for Necros. Yeah. So Ranger. The Ranger will see a variety of changes during this update. Of particular note, we are reducing Grace of the Land's damage bonus and reworking it so that it's compatible with all celestial avatar abilities and affects 10 allies around the druid. We hope this improves the value of a single druid in large group scenarios. Many pet attacks have had usability and movement enhancements in an effort to improve general damage across moving targets. The greatsword has had a couple of improvements for better damage and pet synergy. Finally, a few underused and even some meta utility skills have undergone general quality of life improvement. And if I were maining a ranger, this would be pretty boss. I mean, this these changes, particularly the pet changes, wow. As far as usability and reliability for your pets doing what you want them to do overall, good things for rangers.
Yep.
So a couple of things that we highlighted. Sharpening Stone, this skill has the number of stacks that this skill applies to has been increased from 6 to 10.
Woo.
Wow, so that's like a two-thirds increase.
Mm-hmm. This, yeah, that basically makes up the nerf to the next highlighted thing, which a lot of people are unhappy about because...
That's a huge nerf.
Condi Rangers typically always use that trait.
Yeah. I do.
Hmm, interesting.
Because I run a Condi Ranger.
I do not run a Condi. Very interesting.
Hmm.
Let's see what else. So sharpened edges, right? The chance to bleed a target on critical hits has been reduced from 66% to 33%. So, right, like you're saying, that's...
And, half. And
the grace, yeah. Grace of the land damage per stack of this trait has been reduced from 3 to 2. The number of targets affected by this trait has been increased from 5 to 10. So it's interesting at the beginning how they noted the whole 5-player cap. And then, you know, we've seen throughout this several instances, like you were saying, Alona, of various exceptions of things applying to 10.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of
them. Yes, mm-hmm. Indeed. Okay, so there were a lot of pet changes to various specific pets. So we're not going to go through all of them, or I would be reading for 10 minutes.
Or more.
What did we highlight here? Avian pets. Updated on land non-basic attacks so that they more consistently hit enemies and can be executed from farther distances.
Huzzah! I love the avian pets, so that makes me very happy.
Well, that's basically what they did to just about every pet.
Wow.
That's why I highlighted just one of them so that we can get that out there.
Oh, right. I'm looking through now.
Yeah.
Honestly, I saw the wall of text for pets when I was reading the thing. I'm like, I'll get to this later. This is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I tested it out earlier and basically just hit F1 on my ranger when I was standing at Royal Terrace, and my pet just flew across when I hit it. So can't wait to try that out in action, put it in action, see what happens. It would be really useful because I play my ranger in World vs. World a lot, but often my pets just cannot keep up with someone who's running away from me.
Right. I wonder how this isn't overpowered. I mean, it just seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's overpowered. The class will finally be doing what it was meant to be doing.
Yeah, relying heavily on their pets as they, like... I was just looking at this Wyvern pet, the Wing Buffet, which is a great skill in the first place, but it's been reduced initial casting time and increased the attack radius. So the attack radius went from 240 to 360. Like, that's huge. That's amazing.
Yeah. I have to say, I first read that as Wing Buffet.
Yes, I did too. Wings. Dry Cajun rub wings.
I guess, you know, with all these great changes to pets, I would think that, you know, with druids, they'll have a lot more options of what they can bring and do as far as group content.
I always found, like, I will say with pets, I always found when I would hit this like F2 for attacking using one of their skills, it always seemed like there was this huge lag before it would actually do the thing.
Yes.
And it's like, definitely. Julie, do the thing. Come on, I've hit the button. Do the thing. And it's like, right. So I'm...
Let me just stand here.
Yes, I'm hoping... I haven't tried it like you had, Hunter, so I'm hoping that that is what's been affected, partly.
Mm. Mm.
All right, so moving on to the Revenant. So this is a little bit of a smaller section compared to the others. In addition to bug fixes and quality of life changes, we've been looking to improve the support role for the Revenant. Alacrity will now be available through... Available. Wow, we can edit that out. Alacrity will now be available...
Keep it in, just so you know.
Alacrity will now be available through the Salvation Specialization line, allowing Ventari's tablet to project it at a constant rate. We're excited to see this in play. Wow. ArenaNet, yes. Going with the exclamation points.
Yes. And this is one of the things that has been causing a little bit of saltiness. I think it was Zero in chat pointed it out much earlier in the show. And I knew we were talking about it, so I didn't call it out there necessarily. But, you know, that Alacrity was, that was the Mesmer thing. And now other people have it. And, you know, it, to me, I mean, whatever. I mean, I kind of got my irritation with stuff like this out of the way when Necros were given Confusion, which was initially only a Mesmer
right
thing. And it was like, this is ours. We confuse people. And now so many other there's several professions, I think, that can cause confusion now.
I kind of felt that way with weapons. Specializations. Once professions could use a greater variety of weapons, I felt a little bit like, you know, something that made you special, that there was so few classes that could use this weapon, and then that just widened out a little bit. I felt that there.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think it's awesome, but it's like,
But I can. There's always been some stuff that uses confusion on other professions.
Like, no, engineer, there wasn't.
Engineer Pistol 3 has always had confusion.
I don't think it did.
It's my main character from day one, so yeah.
I thought confusion was it was something then. Maybe it wasn't confusion. Maybe was it torment? No, because that was Necros initially.
Anyway.
All right, so Serene Rejuvenation, in addition to its current bonus, this trait will now cause Natural Harmony to apply Alacrity to allies for 3 seconds.
Yeah, Alacrity. See, that's a weird thing, because a lot of Revenant skills don't have cooldowns. They use energy, so Alacrity affects cooldowns. So it's kind of an odd choice to put that on there. I mean, if it works out in a build, great, but it's kind of a weird choice to put it on one of the few classes that don't actually have a lot of cooldowns.
Also, the concept of moving really, really fast and things recharging really, really fast and Serene Rejuvenation seem kind of thematically at odds. Just saying. Good
point. All right. Rite of the Great Dwarf. The cost of this skill has been reduced from 50 energy to 40 energy in PvP only. I haven't played with my Revenant in PvP, really. Do either of you have any comments on this one?
No, I just thought it was a pretty big drop for PvP, though.
Mm.
A large portion of the Revenant is your energy management, and this is just
50 energy, I think, is like your full energy bar at a normal state, I think.
I don't know. I don't remember. Mm.
Yeah.
I did highlight this just now. Vengeful Hammers increase the base damage of the skill by 100%. That is a huge increase. I love that skill. It does pretty decent damage to begin with if all you're doing is your other stuff. And
is that the spinning hammers that go around? Yeah. Oh, I love that one.
Oh,
how is that going to 100% more damage?
Whoa. I use that one a lot.
Anyway, I guess that's Thief is up next. Who's doing Thief? Alona?
I do Thief. Or wait. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. Quality of life improvements and PvP health have been our focus for the Thief, mainly for Daredevil. As such, we'll be looking to reduce endurance from a few different areas to target survivability through evasion, but also compensate for it a bit with extra utility and condition removals. So one of the things I pointed out was Vault Staff 5, for specifically for Daredevil, obviously. The code functionality of this skill has been updated. The user will now more accurately travel to the targeted destination when under high latency situations in most scenarios. Yeah, in most scenarios. This skill is now affected by quickness, and it now requires a line of sight to the target point in order to cast. All makes sense, and yeah. I like the changes here.
We didn't highlight it, but like they reduced the amount of durance from a couple of things.
Yes, and that's going to make a huge difference too.
Yeah, in roll versus roll, people use those endurance, that signet of agility, to just constantly be running away from you and avoiding taking any damage whatsoever. So I guess it's good that it's nerfed. I mean, there's still a bunch of problems with thieves in roll versus roll, but maybe this will address one of them.
But however, same with signet of agility, that's pointing out here that condition cleansing has been increased from 1 to 3 in all game modes. That's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, one of the few ways you could kill thieves in roll versus roll was with conditions, maybe.
Yeah, but still, 3, that's like, if you get tons, 3, I mean, it's going to let you maybe live a little bit longer, but you're probably still going to die. It may let you get away, but if it's damage over,
I don't know, but
if it's damage over time,
in a 1v1 situation though, or when you're trying to get across the map, if there's a thief camping out, taking you out, that, you know, like Hunter was saying, using your condi was one of your few options, and on a 1v1, that's going to be kind of tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call them cancer thieves.
I'd never heard that
because they're so toxic.
Well. Yeah. For Needle Trap, the poison inflicted by this skill has been increased from 1 stack to 3 stacks. And that's a lot of stacks comparatively. That's 300% more stacks. I like that trap, so. And yeah. Caltrops, the duration of bleeding inflicted by this skill has been increased from 3 seconds to 5 seconds, which, you know, if you can't cleanse that, that's 2 extra seconds can stacks.
Yeah.
So.
Finally, we've got Warrior. Warrior's banners are the final recipient of our target increase update, with the unique enhancements from each banner increasing to 10. After that, we're mostly focused on improving weapon and utility effectiveness, with some significant increases to underutilized areas. So yeah, they basically buffed banner defense, discipline, strength, and tactics so that it targets 10 people instead of 5. Mm. And I did highlight all of these shouts because they buff vigorous shouts, which has got nerfed quite a while ago. But the effective healing power on this trait has been increased by 20%. That's pretty hefty.
Yes. Actually, Cal will be happy about that because he loves running that trait. Mm-hmm.
And I've got that on that Rendak character that we do.
Oh, right.
Rendak on. But yeah, they've buffed to the limit, Shake It Off, for Great Justice, not just So the endurance gained by to the limit skill has been increased from 25 to 50. I have no idea how much endurance that is, but it sounds like a lot.
It's twice the amount, yes.
I love how you just say math, like you can't do that.
It's how I need to think about it.
Shade off, the number of conditions removed by the skill has been increased from 1 to 2. That was ooh, good. Nice. Yeah. I use that quite a bit as a stun break and to get the more annoying conditions off me. So that's good. And for Great Justice, the might granted by the skills increased from 3 stacks to 6 stacks. That's a pretty big increase.
Yep.
It's twice the amount.
It is twice the amount. I'm glad you noticed that.
Breaker, the skill will now attempt to face your target before firing instead of failing. If you cannot face your target, it will instead fire in your current facing direction. I would not have highlighted this.
Liked it.
Why is that?
Because it's failing things irritate me.
I just figured it's a bug fix, so I wasn't going to mention it. Whirling Axe fixed a bug that prevented this skill from being canceled when transitioning to gliding. Alona, I have a feeling you highlighted that too.
I did, because it made me laugh, because I imagine you're gliding and you're still like spinning around your axes. Whirling death from above! But you can't anymore, because it's fixed. There were some changes for structured player versus player that we wanted to point out. Mastery, the commander swiftness now is now enabled in the PvP lobby. And for leagues, losing a ranked season match with a score greater than or equal to 80% of the winning team score will award a near victory bonus worth 2 league reward pips. Sounds like a really big deal, actually.
Yeah.
I really, really
close matches worth it.
Yeah.
Yep.
The mini Emperor Llama is now available from the league vendor. Hunter did not highlight this, but I felt it was very important. I highlight it. Significantly reduced the number of transmutation charges obtained through league chests and reduced.
It was a very lucrative way to get transmutation charges. So it's interesting they nerfed it.
That is one of the things that I have heard a lot of salt about, you know, people who are using that to get their transmutation charges. Ugh.
You know,
so I feel bad.
I wouldn't mind. Okay. So I totally understand for this one. Segueing briefly into one of my little things. If you have a skin that you want to not just keep in your inventory to be able to use for free, I wish you could convert it to a transmutation charge. So, I know, Hunter, you were saying transmutation charges are super easy to get. With this change, maybe if they did the other, they would offset each other a little bit? Meh.
I don't mind this nerf at all. I mean, they were really easy to get from all reports through league play, so...
Yeah. They also reduced the number of unidentified dyes obtained through league chests. So I'm kind of hoping that unidentified dyes go up a little bit in price because they've tanked recently. And I have some I'd like to sell.
Is the price directly related to league play? Is that why the price is so low?
Not, like, they, okay, I don't really know what they are right at the moment, but I do remember thinking that they were way lower than I remembered seeing in the past. I am checking it out now.
Yeah, they're like 50 silver right now. And they have been as high as 80 silver, 90 silver.
They've been over a gold before. But that was a long time ago.
Distant, yes, yeah. Distant past.
So, yeah. I'm wondering if this is the culprit. I have no idea. And finally, Ardent Glorious Armor skins are now available from the Ascended PvP vendors.
Yeah, and they changed up how you get them, but so now you have to like craft a currency that you turn in and stuff. Yeah, that's it.
I don't quite understand how that works just yet, so I wasn't going to speak to it.
And now it's time for World versus World, our extensive World versus World focus feature presentation. Being killed while outnumbered no longer grants any war score to the enemy team. Hashtag fractals.
You can do a living world equitable. Then.
just to spend a moment talking about it. If you're outnumbered, it's always been a huge pain in the butt to be outnumbered in World versus World. And you get a little buff with magic find and other things. Like your armor doesn't break or whatever. But this will definitely change things because it'll change the scores. It'll be less of a slaughter and the teams will have less motivation to go beat up on a map that doesn't have anyone on it. So it has potential to change World versus World for the better. Hashtag fractals.
All right. So for fractals, the biggest change that stood out to us, well, okay, maybe to me.
And me.
and Alona. The commands /resign/QQ/GG, etc. may now be used in fractals. So I was talking with Hunter earlier about when, you know, my first reaction was, oh, that's great. And then I thought, okay, when would I actually use this? Because typically you just kind of fight through it, you know, you just keep going and, you know, you just work through it. So I was trying to come up with scenarios where you would GG, and we came up with a few.
Challenge modes.
Right. Challenge modes, chaos, fractal, when you're running certain parts of it, it would make sense to do that. So you don't have to wait for everybody to die if it's going to wipe.
Level 100 or high level fractals.
Right, right. So yeah, I think it's good. Ascended fractal armor and weapons now requires special currency that you craft, along with fractal research pages, fractal relics, and gold. These recipes are available from Bling 9009, and these recipes require fewer materials than normal ascended crafting, so they are a small discount from just crafting the armor and weapons outright. So this is the news that we were warned about. I don't think it's really anything that surprised people, right?
I'm enraged! Oh, wait, no. I'm fine.
unwanted integrate. Who has unwanted integrated fractal?
This is what I thought reading this. I'm like, seriously? Really, Queen? This is what you're who has these?
A lot of people who play way too much fractals.
All right. Can now be converted to fractal encryption keys at a rate of 10 keys per matrix at Bling 9. Is it 9009? 9009. What do you guys say? How do you pronounce it?
9009 is fine.
I don't know what the rate was previously. Do you?
There wasn't a rate because you couldn't trade them in for encryption keys.
So zero.
Well, there you go. So a good increase there. For those who have unwanted. But, you know, if you really don't want them, feel free to share with others. Who do want them?
Which is, I can't imagine it's not everyone, but okay.
Right, right. I'll talk about the next thing because this is something that I have experienced. So this is for the living world, and it's one line item, and it says players will now be able to enter Norrin's safe room with an oiled key. And I think what this means is previously, you bought the key from Norrin and you went into the basement and
in Lake Doric.
In Lake Doric, yes. And you went through about half of the maze and then you got the chest where you got the oil and then you oiled your key and opened up the final chest. So if you had gotten the oil and you oiled your key and then for some reason you left the maze, you disconnected or your guildies called you up to do something, and you tried to go back, you couldn't open the basement with the oiled key. You had to have just the basic key. So I think, I haven't tried it, but I think that that's what this means. I think that you can go back in and complete the puzzle with the oiled key, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I'll just finish out this part. So in the general news, Pack soldiers returning from the campaign in the Maguma Jungle have created a monument at the entrance of the grove. So,
what?
This just came out today. New content, current events. What can we say about it without spoiling anything?
Go ahead.
First of all, I will say how they're making people aware of this content is good. You actually get when you log in, a mail item that will give you, or a couple, and you get some options. And I like that it's being presented to you. Look, here is this. So,
yeah. And it took me around 2 hours or so to finish the current events. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but I am going to say I loved it. I thought it was very, very well done. And I have not been entirely on board with some of the previous current events, the non-current events. Hunter and I were talking about them earlier. You know, the executioners, the overpowered execution, overtuned executioners, and just some of the more tedious challenges. Or before things were fixed, some of the events that ended up pitting player against player and they were problematic. It just felt like this content was very well thought out, very well done. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. There were devs on all over the place this afternoon, and I ran into them. And I actually messaged a couple of them and said, thank you. This is a really great update and I'm really enjoying it. And everybody that I messaged back and said, you know, thanks. Great to hear. Glad you're enjoying it. Yeah. So good stuff.
Alona will get their information from you later.
I did not super stock. I did not add them to my friends list.
What? I'm missing something.
Devs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I see devs in game, I add them to my friends list. Yeah. It's no big deal. I'm sure lots of people do it. Come on. Everyone's doing it. Just not you, Hunter, because you don't like friends.
They're not my friends. I don't know them. Right. So I think one of the things that made the current events successful this time around was that they aimed for a smaller scale. They didn't aim for some zone-wide group event that collected over 100 people and then scaled everything out of control that it was just a giant pain in the ass to complete. So it's a much smaller scale thing, and I thought that that helped it succeed really well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's all I really want to say about it.
I still need to finish the anomaly that shows up in the variety of zones. I still need to do mm-hmm. that.
So I'm at 7 of 10, I think.
We should make a concerted effort to do those.
Should I still have some of those escort thingies?
I think Keeper does it every day around reset, 20 minutes after reset.
Oh. Ah.
All right, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're not busy feeding Hal apples.
That's true.
The reward for the current events is pretty good.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't say, but it was
we will not say.
Pretty good reward.
I think I know what it is, though.
You don't know what it is.
You don't. Oh,
yeah. I'll tell you. Nope. After we're done, I will, and not live, I will say what I think it is to you guys.
Okay. We saved the best for Alona because we know she gets a kick out of this.
Oh, I was going to let you take this, but Black Lion Trading Company Gem Store, new items and promotions. Huzzah!
Why are you clapping? Are you Kermit flailing?
No, I'm clapping. I can't Kermit flail and clap. When you Kermit flail, your arms don't connect. There's a new Bloodstone Ascender, which is a glider, in the toys category of the gem store for 250 gems. Or no, it's a toy. It's not a glider. Wait. No, I don't know what it
is. No, there's two. There's okay. The toy and the glider.
Oh, okay. And the new Shattered Bloodstone Glider in the upgrades category for 400 gems. This thing's out of control. There's a lot going on with it.
you were saying that it's kind of bright and loud and...
I think hashtag said it was seizure inducing.
I don't like it. The description I gave of it, and I don't know if it, you know, for you Canadians, I don't know if
Oh my gosh. Right. Lighten up on the Canadians thing. Jeez.
It's starting to sound a little discriminatory. You make all these references all the time of Canadian, you know, television that I don't know. So anyway, when I saw it, it reminded me of the Magic School Bus episode where Miss Frizzle takes the children into the blood vessels of a body and you're kind of flying through the blood vessels and you see all the red blood cells on either side of you. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh yeah, the Magic Schoolhouse. Yeah.
Hunter.
Cool. But
I could see someone really liking this. I might even consider it at some point, but there's a lot going on with it. It's like,
it's bright.
It is. It's a thing. It's a thing that
really popular.
Yeah. I actually kind of wish I had the electromagnetic one. So this is like that, but like times 50.
Right. And then the Bloodstone Ascender. Have you guys seen that in action yet? How, you know, it kind of lifts. It's one of those toys where you jump up and it kind of floats you to the next location.
Yeah. I have not, but I'm assuming it looks like the glider, or they transition to each other, maybe? I don't know. I bet you Dolphy has that. I should have looked at that before the show.
It's kind of similar. I mean, it's definitely in the same family.
Yeah.
And you can get those, I think, as a pack, right? For 500?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a fairly big discount, actually. It's a discount of 150 gems. Look at me doing math again.
Episode title.
Woo! And for improvement, they've added 6 new and exclusive eye colors to the total makeover kits, which are available in the services category of the gem store. Or if you happen to have any in your bags already, you have those. And to address community concerns over issues with the challenge motes, a new title is available for recompleting all the challenge motes. So you put this in, Hunter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So this was in the patch that happened just before the show. Basically, a lot of people had been exploiting one of the achievements with the challenge modes in the new Raid Wing. And that comes with a title if you completed all 4 of them in both normal and challenge mode. So a lot of people got the title unfairly. So they added a new title that is called...
Demon's Demise.
The old title is Silent Savior, and the new title is Demon's Demise. And the achievement that comes with Demon's Demise is like the real Raiders of Tyria.
So,
yes. kind of a dig at all the people that exploited to get the old title.
So that's it, guys. That is the patch updates. There was one other item I wanted to discuss very, very quickly, not related to the patch at all, but Daniel, okay, I'm not sure if I, do you know how to say Daniel's Dosu? Daniel Dosu?
Yeah, close. Daniel Dosu.
We'll go with Daniel.
Yes. he has been with ArenaNet since the beginning as the concept artist, and I love his concept art. It was not necessarily on the cover of the box, but when I was walking down the store through a store and I picked up the box and I opened it, and I think it was the Gendarin Moon Fortress was the one that was on the box, and I was like, whoa, love this. And it was one of the reasons I bought Nightfall in the first place. And so he is leaving ArenaNet for new adventures. I'm not even 100% sure what they are. Dochu.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, Daniel Dochu. And I believe the person taking over as lead art director, as I believe the title, is going to be his son, Hora?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Again, terrible. I very deeply apologize for not getting the names right. But I wish all the best to Daniel. And thank you for sharing your artwork with Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, he's worked on some iconic games in the gaming industry. He worked on Half-Life, or was it Half-Life 2? I can't remember. And you can honestly say that he's one of the best concept artists on the planet. So
he had National Geographic cover and did some artwork inside of that as well for National Geographic. Yeah, I'm just huge fan. So I have a signed art print of the floating mosque. I got that before Guild Wars, and I have the art book. So I'm like, so nice. Very Horia Dochu.
Horia. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Jawa, for the pronunciation guide.
It's very very helpful. Very thankful. And I think that's the show. And I will close this out for us since I let us in initially. So thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for our chat room for being very informative and entertaining. And if you want to reach out to us at all, we're all on Twitter. Hashtag is @#thetag. Hunter is @HuntersInsight, and I am @OneBigPair, P-E-A-R. Or if you wanted to reach me in-game, it's onebigpair.1249. And hashtag?
Sig, S-I-G-G, .1735.
Yep. And if you wanted to reach out to us through show means, we, of course, have a show Twitter @Hosts of Ascalon. We have a website, hostsofascalon.com. You can listen to our shows there if you are so inclined. There's our email for hostsofascalon@gmail.com. If you have any questions that you want to ask us that are game related, we are more than happy to try research and answer them if we don't already know the answer, which is probably likely for some of us, me. And we are also at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon. And our next show will be March 8th, which is Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's it.
Yeah. That's the show. We ran pretty long there.
We did.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, does anyone have any title suggestions for the episode?
Other than look at me doing math?
Or suggestions for our Twitter polls? ¶¶